Will you stand for the reading of God's holy word? In preaching from the Beatitudes, and just one verse today, Matthew 5, 6, in the fourth Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We thank the Lord that we were spared, and we pray for many of our neighbors who were not spared today, and those who lost loved ones in the midst of the storms that passed us by. We remember them especially today, and pray God's mercies upon them. One of the pastors in the area preached a series of sermons on, and he entitled it, Things I Wish Jesus Had Never Said. And in the Beatitudes, there's a lot here that is very inspiring and also very challenging. Many see these Beatitudes as the principles of the kingdom of God and how they are to operate within the kingdom of God, and also as they're to operate in you and I as people who are in the kingdom of God. So they are very relevant and powerful, inspiring, and I might say as well challenging. Last week we looked at the Beatitude, blessed are those who are meek. And as it juxtaposed against the culture, and most of these, if not all of these Beatitudes, are very much in opposition to our culture or the mentality of the world around us. And we juxtapose that against the mentality that is more prevalent, is the word just win, baby. That's a part of our culture. There's nothing wrong with winning and having a winning team and all of that, but it is winning at all costs. It's the pragmatic nature of that that becomes problematic here. And it's juxtaposed against Jesus talking about being meek, and those who are humble and hard in spirit are truly blessed. And today we look at this other statement of Jesus talking about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Again, very much opposed to our culture and the dominating mentality of our world. I thought of a common expression today, particularly in the food industry, and we often hear this expression, particularly at fast food places, would you like to supersize it? Supersize it. And I don't have a picture of a supersized fries this morning. We don't have our screen, so you can just imagine that. And speaking of the phrase supersize, it was almost 20 years ago, back in 2004, there was a documentary movie that was made popular. It's hard to believe that was almost 20 years ago, by Morgan Spurlock. He did a little experiment. He did nothing but eat McDonald's for 30 days. It included all three meals. And whenever they asked him, would you like to supersize it, he would say yes. And he wouldn't supersize it unless they ask him, but as you imagine, they ask him a lot. So he supersized it a lot, and over the course of 30 days, what happened to Morgan Spurlock? He averaged eating over 5,000 calories a day, which is equivalent of over 9 Big Macs. Hope none of you have a Big Mac attack while I'm talking about this today. He was 32 years old. At the end of those 30 days, he gained 24.5 pounds. He had an increase in his body mass by 13%. His cholesterol level was over 200. It was 230. As you might imagine, he experienced a lot of emotional mood swings in his life. Physical, emotional, as well as spiritual life were all impacted by what he called the supersize me experiment. Now, I know that's an extreme example as we talk about this. And it even mentioned that most of their best customers only frequent McDonald's twice a week. I know I don't average that one. But it is an extreme example, but it points to the reality to our culture and the experiences within our culture. It's often dominated by our physical appetite. But against that culture and that emphasis on our physical appetite and what's on the menu, Jesus is moving us in a more spiritual direction with the words, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So the question that is implored by this, by Jesus, is do we hunger and thirst over spiritual things as we do over our physical food or what's on the menu? Now, to be sure, as we talk about this, hunger and thirst are natural and normal human drives. Let's face it, without food and drink, none of us would survive. It's not an optional thing, but it's a necessity of life. We must have food and drink to survive. Food, shelter, and clothing are among the staples, the necessities of life. And I'm amazed every time I watch the Animal Planet or a nature documentary, which are among my favorites, looking at wildlife, gazelles, wildebeest, other wild animals who come to the watering hole, who come to the river to drink. They're driven by a powerful thirst. But they also know when they go to the river to drink or to that watering hole that they're also putting their life on the line. They know there are other predators there like crocodiles or lions that are there at the watering hole. But their drive for thirst is so powerful and their instinct to survive is so great and they're driven by, it's almost like if I do not go, if I do not drink, I will die. And essentially that is the case. And without that water, they would die. But they take the risk. They take the risk in the most vulnerable circumstances and go drink and satisfy their thirst. Powerful drive that must be satisfied no matter what the risk or the circumstances involved. I was reminded of Psalm 42 that was played beautifully by Rita, the offertory. As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts, O God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, my God? Many of you know that little chorus was played today. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. David is talking about his physical appetite and hunger and thirst, and he's overlaying it, as Jesus is in this beatitude, with a spiritual hunger and thirst, and this beautiful analogy. As a deer longs for the water, as a deer even goes through vulnerable circumstances at risk of their very lives, he says, my soul pants after thee, the living God. So the primary point here is about our spiritual lives and the intense desire to truly worship God in private as well as in public, as we're doing here today, describing praise and adoration and glory to God. And as I thought further about this, I thought about the times that Jesus was hungry and thirsty. There's a couple of incidents that we want to look at because I think they give us greater insight into what Jesus is talking about here when he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And one of the great events in Jesus' life was the time of his temptation. This is found in Matthew chapter 4. Recall, before the temptation of Jesus, the scriptures teach us that he fasted for 40 days. It's one of my supernatural fast. And after his fasting for 40 days, the scripture says he was hungry. And we use the expression, and I've said this I don't know how many times, I'm nearly starved to death. I need something to eat. Well, there's hardly any of us here today, I would venture a guess to say, perhaps none of us who've ever been in an experience or a situation where you were actually starving to death, where you were actually in a situation where you needed food to survive. But Jesus was in that moment when he had to have something to eat. He had to have something to drink to sustain his life, and he needed it quickly. Enter the devil and the temptation. Oh, hungry are you? Turn these stones to bread and eat. Now, I'm sure that was a very real temptation for Jesus. And I don't know if I place myself in Jesus' sandals, I might be saying something, well, let's get a really big stone and supersize it. Because I'm hungry. I'm nearly starved to death. Well, what does Jesus say? We know it, the words that he says. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, from the mouth of the Father. Well, what's this temptation about? What do we learn from it? I think Jesus is teaching us that it's more important here, even more important than our physical food, as important as that is, that we are accomplishing what it is God wants us to do in this life. That is a priority of our Christian life. And he's saying here that our spiritual life is taking precedent over our physical life, even more than our daily bread. I must receive the manna from heaven first. This would parallel a statement that Jesus made in Mark 8:36. What would it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? This means that Jesus was hungering and thirsting for the bread of heaven, the manna from heaven, the word of God, to accomplish the purpose for his life. And I want to be quick here to say, this does not mean that we're to go without food or drink. The Lord knows we need those elements in our lives. Jesus was sustained after his fasting and after this temptation. Angels came and ministered to him, and he received food and drink. But Jesus is teaching us here that we're not living to satisfy our own desires, but to fulfill God's greater purpose. And when we try to sustain our lives with only the physical things in life, guess what? It leaves us empty. It leaves us unsatisfied. One of the great country music stars of the past, Johnny Cash, made popular a song entitled Hurt. Prior to his passing, it contained the words, "You can have it all, my empire of dirt. It will cause you pain. It will make you hurt." And with that, there's kind of a satire in that as well to say, certainly it's not wrong to have nice things, but make sure those nice things don't possess you. Make sure you're hungering and thirsting for the things that will not perish here. Make sure you're building your life on things that are eternal. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, placing yourself in right relationship with God. Jesus put it very simply in Matthew 6:33, just after these words in Matthew 5. Seek the kingdom first, and then all these other things will be added to you. And might I say today, it's easy to reverse that. Which I think what Jesus was talking about here in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that's one of the driving points of this, that we don't seek all the other things first. And then try to cram in the kingdom somewhere in our lives. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father. The next incident in Jesus' life that I would reference today is the time when he was thirsty. In John chapter 4, he met the woman at the well. In that dry and arid place, she came to draw water from Jacob's well. And Jesus looked at her and said, give me something to drink. I'm thirsty. And the Samaritan woman was puzzled, surprised, that Jesus would ask her, a Samaritan woman, for something to drink. And then he said these words, John 4:14, if you knew who it was you were talking to that woman, the Samaritan woman, you would have asked me and I would give you water, such water that you would never thirst again. Wow. What an astounding statement. Jesus, and also in this, it's really a paradox when you think about it. Jesus, the water of life, the one who gives everlasting life, is thirsty. He's thirsty. The conversation goes on. The lady is confronted by Jesus, who tells her to go call her husband. She said, I don't have one. And he said, yes, that's true. You've had five. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. He confronted her about the sins in her life. And she goes back to the village and tells everyone what Jesus had done. And as I reread through this passage again and again, as I'd read it many times before, I realized all through that situation, Jesus never did get a drink of water. It's amazing. I never thought that before, but he never got a drink of water. She put down her water pot and went back to the village. So the disciples show up and they see Jesus. And they said, Lord, you're famished. You need something to eat, something to drink. You're going to die. We need something quickly. And then notice what Jesus said to them. This is John 4:34. My food, my meat, my drink is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish, to complete what he has sent me to do. Jesus was hungry and thirsty, probably unlike any of us will ever experience in our lives. And yet he said his real food, his real drink, was to do God's will. Well, let me review this quickly if I can. Jesus was hungry, and in the midst of that temptation, when he could have turned the stones to bread and eaten, I'd have had a big pretzel or something, I'm just saying. Man does not live by bread alone. That's why it's not most important. And then when he's thirsting, he says, and I mean, amazingly, that woman told him, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. The water of life she's talking to. And he says, my drink is not about this water. As important as that is, as needed as that is, but it is to accomplish God's greater purpose for me. So it brings a real question to us, and this is the challenge and the application of this is, would say, in your life right now, what are you hungering and thirsting for? All of us, I think, have certain things we may be desiring, hungering, and thirsting for in our lives right now. Even if we are retired. What might be the consuming thing in your life right now? And is it all oriented around the physical world? Or are we really focusing on hungering, thirsting for what is the purpose of God for me here? I find it quite amazing. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Jeremiah, the Old Testament, even spoke on a national scale. He took it from a personal scale to a national scale. Here's what he says, Jeremiah 2:13. He says, has the nation changed its gods, which are no gods? I really wish we had these on the screen. Has the nation changed its gods that are no gods? But my people have changed the glory of what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and horrified, be very desolate, says the people, for my people have committed two evils. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have dug out for themselves cisterns, cracked cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Think about that. And what Jeremiah is talking about that is there's so much a preoccupation with the physical world around us, and we're so enamored with that, that we have missed the one who made it. The one who gave it to us. The true fountain of living water was like the woman at the well. In the great chorus it says, like the woman at the well, I was thirsting for the things in life that could not satisfy. The real danger in our lives is again placing more emphasis on the gifts than the giver, or getting so caught up in the creation that we miss the Creator. Like what William Wadsworth, a great poet, said, the world is too much with us laden soon. Getting and spending, we lie waste to our powers. Little we see in life that is ours. Or as great Blaise Pascal talked about, this God-shaped void and emptiness that is in us. And there's nothing in the world, no substance in the world, that can bring us soul satisfaction. Only the bread of heaven. Only the one who created us that can bring that fulfillment to us. Another couple of points here before I close today about hungering and thirsting here that's noteworthy that Jesus is talking about. Hungering and thirsting are both continual. Now tomorrow at about 11:30, or today at about 11:30, my stomach will start growling. and is telling me that I need to get something to eat. And on Tuesday at 11:30, my stomach's going to start growling again. And on Wednesday, it's going to happen again. Some of you have a clock like that too. And what it is to say that this hunger and thirsting inside of us is a continual process. It does not end. And what Jesus is saying here, and as this is related particularly in the original language here, is that this hungering and thirsting after God does not cease. It also is continual. There's a great danger as Christians that we could come on Sunday and we worship and we receive of the Lord and we're sustained this day and we're satisfied and it's good. But then, maybe on Monday or Wednesday, we're not real hungry spiritually. Really, as this is, if I transliterate this, it would be, blessed are those who hunger and thirst as a starving person, as a desperate person for the living God, as a deer has to have the water to survive. And one other note, the way this is put in the original language, most of the time when we say I'm hungry and we have a craving for something, let's say chocolate pie, right here in the midst of Lent, say I'm hungry for some chocolate pie. And what that means is, I'd like to have a slice of pie. Or if I say I'm thirsty, we'd say, I want a cup of water or a bottle of water. I want a portion of water. But what this is really saying here is Jesus saying, hunger and thirst after righteousness, is saying, I don't want just a piece of pie. I want the whole pie. I don't want just a little bit of water, a cup. I want the whole pitcher. And what he's saying here is that we are hungering and thirsting for complete righteousness, not just partial. There's not a mixture here that Jesus is talking about, that I'm righteous some of the time, I'm sinful some of the time, but there's a desire within me to hunger continually for a complete righteousness. Let's put it another way. Jesus cited the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Wesley taught that really fulfilling that commandment is fulfilling righteousness. So love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all of you. It's not just saying we're coming and worshiping in spirit and in truth. Our spirit is here. We're studying and we're giving God our mind. We're serving and we're giving God our strength. Not just part of us, but all of us. I'll conclude with William Barclay's full translation of this. He says, oh, the bliss of the person who longs for a total righteousness as a starving man longs for food, as a man perishing of things of thirst longs for water, for that man will be truly satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. They will be filled. Let us pray. Lord, I ask through your Holy Spirit that you would impart to us the strength and the faith to hear your words today, to respond to your word today. Give us open hearts to receive from you, Lord. And God, if we're holding back parts of our lives, if we're not fully and finally surrendered to you, we pray today we may make the choice to do that. And Lord, that you would even create within us a hunger and a thirst that only you can provide and only you can satisfy. We pray this in the name and for the sake of Christ. Amen.